This is about a research that I'm carrying out in collaboration with my colleagues on the ANT ATOL project team, Sean Brady and Ted Schultz at the Smithsonian, and Brian Fisher at the Cal Academy. In the last year, we've been focusing our efforts on one subfamily of ants, the Dolichotyrhinae, a fairly interesting and diverse group of ants, which frequently assume disproportionate ecological dominance in ant communities. They also include some of the world's most notorious invasive ants, such as the Argentine ant shown here, which of course has dominated many habitats and areas have been introduced, including essentially much of this area in which we're currently visiting. An additional motivation for investigating the phylogeny of these ants was to better understand the evolution of these behaviors and this assumption of ecological dominance in an historical context. Within the ants, there's a fairly very well-defined clade called the formicoids, and in fact, Dolichotyrhinae ants sit within the formicoid clade as one of the fairly diverse groups of ants within the formicoid group. Right there. There's just some in the order of about 850 described species, but like Phidolia, there are numerous undescribed taxa, and the total diversity could well be twice that. These ants have earned the moniker dominant dolichotyrhine because of the fact that they punch above their weight in many ant communities. They essentially dominate resources and nest sites disproportionately in many parts of the world. Interestingly, the fossil record suggests that they are even more dominant in the past in the Northern Hemisphere. So if you look at Eocene and Oligocene deposits, you find they typically, dolichotyrhine ants comprise about two-thirds of all ant specimens. And that's in contrast to a lower proportional relative abundance today in the Northern Hemisphere. By contrast, in Australia, dolichotyrhines remain quite dominant ants. And across a range of communities here surveyed by Alan Anderson, one finds in some cases relative abundances of 30, 40, or 60% of dolichotyrhine ants at a level sort of approaching that seen in the fossil deposits from the Northern Hemisphere about 40 million years ago. So there's some background on the ants. We were interested in doing a molecular phylogenetic foray. So we sequenced 48 dolichotyrhine species belonging to most of the genera at a series of six outgroups. And for these 54 taxa, we sequenced 10 nuclear genes. And because Sean and I have a sort of masochistic bent, I guess, we actually sequenced every gene for every taxon. So this is a gap-free data matrix. And we analyzed this using model-based methods of Bayesian and likelihood approaches. To estimate the divergence times of these taxa, we used rates, the program rates, the penalized likelihood approach as implemented in rates. And we had six internal fossils, which provided minimum age calibrations within the phylogeny of dolichotyrhines. And then we fixed the age of the root node at 90, that's the most recent common ancestor of dolichotyrhines and their sister group, at 95 million years based upon dates which we had estimated in an earlier study across ants as a whole. But we also tried alternate node age fixed dates to sort of look at the robustness of our age estimates under different assumptions of the age of the root node. Okay, so jumping to the results, here's a Bayesian codon model tree, which is quite similar in topology to the nucleotide model Bayesian tree and to the likelihood tree. And we get strong support at most nodes within this tree, and we find essentially four major clades that have high support, Bayesian posteriors of one, likelihood bootstraps of about 99 to 100. And those four clades are shown color-coded here as the green Dolichotyrhis, the Bothriomyrmex clade, Tapetamoenoma clade, and an austral clade consisting primarily of genera found in South America and Australia. There actually are, it turns out, tribal names available for these four groups, although they weren't so defined, so I'll use these tribal names for the remainder of the talk. The rates analysis yielded the following chronogram. Again, the same clades here are present with the same color coding. Essentially, we found that we estimate that crown group dolichotyrhines arose about 65 million years ago, and those four major clades I've just talked about, we estimate originating on the order of 40 to 60 million years ago. Now, within one of these groups, this very diverse austral clade, there's a subgroup of taxa confined to Australia. So we actually, and I have in this table here, estimated divergence dates for that group as well. And here, this shows the our estimates not just for the 95 million year estimate for the age of the root node, but also for what we thought of as pretty reasonable upper and lower bounds on the age of the root node, 86 and 107 million years respectively. And you can see that the results are of the estimates of ages of nodes within the tree are reasonably robust, or do not vary greatly across those different assumptions about root node age. And notice that the Australian clade here, a subgroup within the Austral clade, the strictly Australian clade here, looks pretty recent. We're estimating it arose about 30 million years ago. Now, we haven't completed our biogeographic analyses of this group, so this is just a very sort of simplistic overview, if you like, just a parsimony mapping of geographic distribution on the tree. We'll do more than this, but it still actually shows the basic picture. It suffices as a heuristic device to show the basic pattern. The clade Dolichotterinae, that's sister to the rest, is very widespread. Then you have these two other... this is quite sensitive, isn't it? You have these two other clades, which are predominantly Old World tropical. Let's see if I can do this without... Yeah. And then finally we have this Anonica Merminae, the Austral clade, consisting primarily of South American and Australian taxa. And notice that within the Austral clade, the Anonica Merminae, the predominance of Australian taxa are nested within the neotropical taxa. So it looks like this radiation of dolichotterines in Australia comes out of a neotropical clade, essentially, on Anonica Merminae. And this shows the same thing. This is a DIVA, dispersal vicariance analysis, and shows essentially the same sort of pattern. So, here's sort of a summary of our findings so far. We find evidence then for four major lineages within the dolichotterines, groups that have very strong support. And of those four, the Dolichotterinae, which is corresponds essentially to the genus Dolichotterus, appears to be sister to the remaining three. Of the remaining three, two of those, Tapetamina and Bothrium Racinae, are predominantly Old World tropical, although they have some representatives in the New World as well. While the fourth group, if you like, Anonica Merminae, has an austral distribution, being most pronounced most present in South America and Australia. Within that austral clade, then, is a subclade of strictly Australian genera that are apparently of neotropical origin. Our divergence state estimates suggest that the diversification of the Australian dolichotterines postdates that radiation of dolichotterines within the northern hemisphere. Remember those Eocene and Oligocene fossils are 40 to 50 million years of age, suggest that high numerical dominance of dolichotterines in Europe occurred before this event occurred in Australia, if these dating estimates have validity. So apparently there was an early assumption of ecological dominance in the northern hemisphere, a slight decline, and now more recently this massive radiation of dolichotterines in Australia. And crown group dolichotterines are estimated to have arisen around about the KT boundary, early late Cretaceous or early Paleocene. Of course, the reasons for the dominance of dolichotterines remain largely a matter of speculation. Certainly one could note that these are ants that have very prominent chemical defenses and also have a strong propensity to tend hemipterans. And these are two factors that have been discussed as possible explanations for their ecological ascendancy. I'll just mention one other interesting ecological observation. The Argentine ant, which has been introduced to many parts of the world, is part of that austral clade. And it's been introduced to parts of the world where all these other major clades of dolichotterines occur, and in nearly all instances it basically outcompetes the native ants, including native dolichotterines. When it gets into, you know, Asian parts of Asia or North America, Mediterranean region of Europe, and so forth. The one place where the Argentine ant has done least well in terms of invading that biogeographic realm is Australia. And that's in fact where its nearest relatives occur, this massive clade of Australian things there. So it's as if there's, you know, in the spirit of community phylogenetics, there's sort of a partial, that phylogenetic factors partially explain the invasion success of this species. Well, on that speculative note, I'll finish, and I would to give Andy some time to talk too, and I'll invite questions. Thank you. Andy.
The date for the austral clade doesn't look like it's a vicariant event. Do you want to speculate about what the
And he's asking about the date of the Australian clade radiation and its relation to possible vicariance events. It is true it's quite young, and it suggests possibly dispersal across an Arctic region, or maybe a transoceanic dispersal event. It was one event that got those Dolichotterines to Australia, for the most part. But there is one other Dolichotterine clade in Australia that's a separate one, if you notice that, Leptomyrmex. And so there's at least two dispersal events or two movements from the Neotropics to Australia, it seems.